That's really, you just never got around to playing Silent Hill, and there's times where it's like, Jeremy, what's going on? And
you're
like,
I don't have a PS2 anymore.
It's right there!
Well, I mean, I can't, like, power it up. That's the problem.
Wait, you don't have... You lost the cords for it?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they're, like, still around.
It's like 15 bucks on eBay for both, maybe 20.
I'm sure it's kind of hard. I mean, even then...
No, you go on Amazon. Sorry, did I say eBay? I meant Amazon. You go on Amazon, you type in PS2 power cord. Right there. $10.
Wait, why not eBay?
Because eBay just...
used Amazon when I looked for it.
I thought you were going to say that you would have to, like, bid for the product.
No. Dude, I use eBay all the time. I'm using eBay right now. I'm selling shit.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Hey, I got... How much did you buy that for, by the way?
I bought it for $150 and I came to $170 with shipping. And so I'm selling it for, like, $140. Trying to get some money back. Because I want the new 3DS.
Wait, what are you selling?
My arcade sticks. I don't use it. Yeah, my parents had the same reaction. I know. I sell a lot of shit, but they got over it, so...
I don't know. At least you had fun with it.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't play fighting games that often, and I'm totally fine. Now that I know how a fight, like, an arcade stick feels, I never knew how it felt before I got a controller.
Uh-huh.
Now I know how it feels, I'm fine with D-pad.
Yeah.
I can get moves out better with D-pad. So.
Yeah. So you haven't played Silent Hill or Resident Evil? The heck?
Okay,
You played Remake that one time when I brought it over, and that was it.
Yeah.
That I know of.
No, I didn't. Never mind.
No, you didn't play Resi 5 with me and Adam. I don't.
Wait, it was Resi 5. That's right.
Yeah, you opted to play instead of Jeremy. Yeah. We played split screen.
It was fun.
And then we got it later and played Mercenaries, which is amazing. I love Mercenaries. It's so pretty good.
It was definitely like something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And it's a serious deviation from the original Resident.
I wish Evil Within had Mercenaries. But... Yeah. DLC, you get to play as the Safe Man, the Keeper. Aren't you guys excited?
Yep. So Resident Evil 1 had some interesting limitations on it.
It was on the PS1.
Yeah.
That wasn't...
So, there you go. That's already a limitation.
It was going to come out in a Game Boy Color eventually.
Really?
Yeah. They were using sprites. It looked bad.
Wait, how would you do that?
It's like... What? It just looked really terrible. That's okay. It's like Metal Gear 2 in some ways, but... That's like the quality of the sprites, I guess.
Would it be still in, like, a 3D, like...
Yeah, it still used the weird camera angles, and you still had tank controls.
That's really weird.
How would they get that much information on?
It's really bad. There's a Metal Gear game for the Game Boy Color called Metal Gear Babylon.
Hmm.
And it's not canon, but it's totally there.
So, but yeah, Resident Evil 1 had some really interesting... It had a couple things that really related it to horror movies in a lot of the ways that it used... its assets and its resources to create very dynamic and genuinely horrifying scenes and genuinely scary moments that even though it's like, oh no, look at this like very obvious like polygonal model.
Yeah.
It was still like at the time really suspenseful and really intriguing to the player.
Yeah. I guess like from like the movie standpoint, and this works with games well, is like, is because, like, some of that has to do with, like, just being, like, uncanny, I guess. Like, in, like, old horror movies, like, when someone gets, like, slashed in the face or something, like the reason it looks a lot more gruesome than nowadays with, like, CGI and, like, a lot better, like, practical effects is, like, it just, like, looks off. And, that, like, the fact that it looks off also, like...
Mm-hmm.
But then they're the same with, like, poorly
textured zombies. Oh, my God, I just got... remembered I have the perfect reference for this episode because I recently watched Babadook.
Oh, yeah?
You can make a lot of shit with the most little budget possible. That's an Australian horror movie.
Yep.
And the monster is a dude wearing a trench coat, white makeup, and he has two claws and a hat.
Yep.
It is the scariest thing I've ever seen, and I was sweating in that movie.
Yeah,
man.
much like a lot of the movies.
Oh, man, thinking about that is actually kind of...
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to show you guys Babadook before I leave.
I mean, I saw the trailers, and just seeing the trailers. Like,
you don't see the
me.
Monster for the first 40 minutes, and it's an hour and a half movie. Mm-hmm. And when it first appears, it's like...
Yeah.
I was shaking during the whole movie. When the lights went out, I started sweating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's not good.
One of the other parallels between horror movies and games is the use of sound design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Akira Yamaoka was king, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, just, I mean, because in a lot of ways, the horror game relies on atmosphere. It relies on the player being tense and feeling afraid.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is through ambient music or no music at all.
Or sounds.
Or sounds. A lot of the time, a game will either lack music or have a sound repeated over and over again.
They'll switch it up, because what they do is that they'll, throughout most of the game, a used effect is like they'll keep playing sound and music at you until you get to a certain point, and then all sound and music just gone. And you're like, something's wrong. And it's a simple effect of just constantly getting to this notion of knowing that there's music or noise, and then just taking it away creates unease and tension.
Yep. And in horror movies, that was also used in a very effective way. A lot of the times there'd be instances of just, like, music. And in horror movies, it was one of the first times that they had really ever experimented with music. It was one of the first things that they had ever really manipulated in sound effects and really tried to incorporate this feeling of scariness to the audience rather than an on-screen look. Yeah. Like you said,
like,
like you said with the slashes across the face, it's very, like, unrealistic, but it adds to it because it's that unrealistic feeling that, like, effectively, if you're dealing with horror, you're dealing with something supernatural.
Yeah, you're dealing with the unfamiliar.
Yeah, and, like, that just adds to the unfamiliarity, like a lot of the sound cues or a lot of the music.
Mm-hmm.
In Psycho, the most iconic thing was the of the girl being stabbed with the knife, and that was
spoiler.
Well, kind of. And also, like, the constant noise of just this, like, siren sound, this alarm sound creates panic and just distress.
Exactly.
It's very alarming.
Yeah. What I was going to say is just, like, in games and I guess in movies too, like, it's actually kind of clever because, like, it builds, like, familiarity and, like building familiarity, like, isn't that, like, the opposite of, like, what scary is? But, like, when you, like, rip that away, like, it, even to something as simple as music, like, that's really intense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's also a lot to learn from silent films.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Well, yeah, it's interesting comparing some of the horror films in... Some of the, like, silent horror films and some of the horror films with actual sound.
Yeah.
And, like, music behind them. One of the interesting things was also in Psycho, because of the limitations of the, like, the visual limitations. One of the most interesting things was, I believe, the blood was chocolate syrup.
It was.
And the film was in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, chocolate syrup was one of the easiest things to make look like blood. So they filmed it in black and white, and they said, hey, we got chocolate syrup, and it's black and white, so nobody will know.
Yeah.
So they just used that, and it made it... It was a super realistic effect.
Yeah.
And in another game, Silent Hill, they use... there's fog in the game. There's a fog that's what, it's about...
It's a really heavy, like, aggressive fog that limits your vision and kind of, like... makes you question what's really ahead and what you're looking at in these, like, weird shapes. And it's all because originally on the PS1, when they started using it, they had to find a way to close in the render distance so that you could keep a good frame rate.
Yep.
While having these, like, really high-tech models for the PS1.
Yeah. And it made it, like, this super engrossing and very, like, unique experience because of how they implemented design elements and how they used limitations to effectively create an experience that wouldn't have been there without those limitations.
That's probably the most known and the most interesting fact about Silent Hill. It's just the way the fog works.
Yeah. So, one thing that horror games have that most games do is obviously player interaction. And movies don't have player interaction. The viewer cannot physically interact with the game.
So when a monster shows up, you're like, oh, I'm just going to sit back in my chair and see what happens. Oh, well, in Resident Evil, it's like, there's a monster. Do you have ammo for it? Are you ready for it?
You're in a corner, bitch.
Yeah, like, are you ready to do it? Because the game ends if you die here. You pay attention.
So I haven't played the first Resident Evil in a very long time. What happens when you're first introduced?
When you're first introduced to zombies, a very classic cutscene where it's just this hunched over person that has a really gray head. And then, of course, they do the slow turn, and they look at you, and then you can see behind him one of your teammates' heads just completely, like, half-eaten. And so it's this very scary scene. You're not supposed to kill him. They expect you to run away back to your teammate, Barry, and then he kills him for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first encounter you have with the zombie.
So what happens, especially in Resident Evil's case, one of the unique things about it was the camera angle and how camera angle directly influenced how the player moved.
No, it was rather they could use the camera angles because of the way the player moved. The player moved on a 3D plane where up on the stick was to go, back was to go to reverse or stop, and then left and right would turn the character rather than move them left and right. It would just rotate them. And so it controlled very much like a tank, hence tank controls. And because holding up always meant your character progressed,
they progressed away from the camera?
No, they progressed forward in the direction the character was looking, and because of that, they could play with the way the camera works, because it wouldn't affect how you moved.
Okay. So yeah, there's a camera transition between, I'm pretty sure, when you go from the hallway into the room where you see the first zombie.
Yes, there is.
So, and this transition isn't a wall, technically. Because I don't know, in some games I would expect that, like, if I changed, like, I would think of that as, like, a stage in a lot of ways.
Sure.
Because, like, it's a focused camera on a room, and that's, like, one room.
Yeah.
So, like, what, I remember what I first thought when I played that game was that once you walked through that, the zombie really wouldn't follow you. Which, of course, isn't the case.
Yeah, it's usually doors.
Yeah, but, like, I remember that, and when the zombie starts to, like, make its way into the frame...
Yeah.
Is really interesting.
Because, well, they do that later, but I'll explain later how... Like, Resident Evil, I like it because it plays with expectations, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what a horror game is supposed to do.
Yeah.
So Resident Evil constantly sets up rules throughout the entire game, and then at certain points, they won't repeat these, but at certain points, they'll just break the rules because it scares you. But to the limitations, Resident Evil also had one interesting one. The loading screens weren't necessarily traditional loading screens. They were just door openings. So whenever you go to a next room and it would have to load it, you would have to interact with a door. And then what you would see is just that door slowly creaking open. But that was actually the loading screen to the next room. And it created this tension as the door creaks open, which also had really good sound design.
Mm-hmm. Like, as it opened, you weren't really knowing what to expect.
Of course, in Silent Hill 2, they changed that where at one point you open a door, and in that loading screen you see zombies, and you're like, oh.
Mm-hmm. So. And, like, it's just, like, that player interaction is so key to it in a lot of ways.
It is.
That, like, all of the camera angles are able to set up scenes in a really nice way. They're able to frame it in such a way that enemy placement and surprises will be a surprise.
Yeah, the camera placement really allows and puts the director in control. So they could make it to where the camera is facing you, and you won't necessarily see what's behind the camera or what's out of frame. There could be something like a monster waiting out of frame. So the director is always in control when they have control of the camera.
Do you know who was behind, like, who was directing?
Shinji Mikami.
Okay.
Silent Hill or Resident
Evil? Yeah, Resident Evil. Sorry.
Resident Evil is Shinji Mikami. I don't know who directed Silent Hill, because it was just, like, 12 guys in a basement.
Weird.
Like, Konami is just like, well, Resident Evil's really good, so we need to make a game. And so they just put 12, it was like 11 or 12, it was like a really small team in a basement. They're like, here's money, make something.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the story of the original FMV, or, like, cinematic creator, ended up spending a week just making all the cinematics. And then he's like, okay, so here's the story.
Wow.
And so they made the game from there.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I know Resident Evil, or not even Resident Evil, but just horror games in general, they have a problem with the player becoming used to it.
Yeah, which is why I like Resident Evil, because it constantly breaks the rules. Silent Hill, not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's a scene in Resident Evil where you keep going through this, like, weird U-shaped corridor to kind of get where you need to go back and forth, and you constantly go through there, like, 6 or 8 times. And then eventually, you go through there again, and the game constantly tells you, zombies can't go through doors. Zombies cannot go through loading screens. So you go, and then they're gone. That's how you escape most of your problems. But when there's one point where you go through that U corridor, and one of the doors just slams open if you haven't killed the zombie, because you don't kill him, and it's fine, and you go through that U corridor multiple times, and then one time you come back, and the door just slams open, and he starts walking out, and it's one of the most unexpected and scary things, because it just breaks the rules.
Huh. And like, it's interesting. Like, I haven't even played through all of Resident Evil. The horror game that I recently finished was Metro, but Metro 2033. But in that, like, breaking the rules in a lot of way, would you consider that a jump scare? In a lot of ways,
I wouldn't like. Because, like, a jump scare...
It's not based, like... A jump scare isn't necessarily built on tension. And it's usually a cheap cash-in. Well, that was based off the idea that you went through that room multiple times and knew it, like, the back of your hand, and you could sprint through it. But then one time it just changes, and that wouldn't have worked as well if you didn't go through there multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Like, a jump scare, in my opinion, is, like, basically, like, throwing something on screen to play on, like, your natural instincts, more or less, just to, like, get you to be like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
But, like, with Resident Evil, like, it was planned ahead, and it definitely, like, plays on your, like, expectations and what you know as a player and what you don't know.
There is one jump scare, and it happens in Resident Evil. It's in, I think it's the east wing of the mansion. Well, you go through a corridor, and you brought this up earlier. There are just these two windows that are heavily in frame for some reason, and it's the first time you go through there, or the second time, I think. Well, the first or second time, dogs just jump through the window with the loudest glass-shattering noise possible, and you're supposed to fight them right there, right then. Or else they're really tough enemies, they're really fast, and it just happens instantly.
Well, can you get around them?
You can, it's just they're really fast, so they can usually outrun you.
Okay.
But there is a way.
Alright. There's actually, I think there's two then. Because I remember if you walk out the front door, if you try to go back out the front door.
If you try to go back out the door, they throw dogs in. No.
It's just one.
Yeah, they throw a dog into the room because you're not supposed to leave.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, you're not supposed to leave.
Yet. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I know a lot of horror games need, I think a good horror game or even a good horror movie often finds a balance between that tension and that jump scare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, that's a jump scare... What?
Like, that is, like, basically rule number one. Like, if you just, like, kept throwing, like new information at somebody, like, they're gonna be desensitized to that.
Yeah.
But, like, if you, like, build up tension and, like, add new things, like, slowly, like, and, like, drop subtle things that, like, you're, like, make someone at ease again, like, that's like... That has way more effect. And then, like, on the flip side, like, if you don't do anything with that tension, then you're just going, like, oh, well, I'm just going to run around and eventually realize that there will be no changes.
And, like, a lot of times when people play horror games that are filled with jump scares, the game becomes a lot less scary. Like you said, it's desensitized.
It becomes, like, fun. Like actually, like, comedic. Like, I think, like, the whole, like, Five Nights at Freddy's thing, like, I haven't been, like, following this at all, but, like, that game is, like, to people now, is like, oh, yeah, like, whatever, like, it's not, like...
It's like you expect jump scares, but like... when you pop in the Silent Hill game, you don't really know what you're expecting.
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of get what you get.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, in the Five Nights at Freddy's example, in a lot of ways, because that, like, it does have a creepy atmosphere, but because it's all based off of, like, a jump scare...
It's all based off one payoff.
Yeah, and, like, it's... Five Nights at Freddy's is effectively more of a management game than it is a horror game.
Yeah, and it just happens to have, like, a different atmosphere.
There is
one
thing I will give Five Nights at Freddy's. The whole game is about, like, looking through cameras for people who haven't seen it or uninitiated. It's about looking through cameras and looking, and occasionally, like, animatronics or the enemies will appear in certain areas, and that's kind of what a mini-startle that keeps the tension going. And then eventually it ends, if you get caught or lose, with the payoff of the monster jumping in your face and supposedly killing you.
Yeah.
The one thing I did like is the fox character will occasionally, if you're lucky enough, you'll go through one of the cameras and you'll see the fox character sprinting down the hall. And through your first time through, that is the scary, because you're like, they appear and then that's it. So, you know, there's no real threat. Oh, okay. You have enough time to stop.
Yeah, they're very
it.
Stationary.
Yeah, you have enough time to stop. They're very stationary and they just look at you. They're not immediate. But then the fox starts sprinting, you're like, what do I do? He's moving. He's on the move. I need to change something and adapt.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's actually a good example.
That's one of the best things that game has, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, because it's, like, it's something that the player can prevent and that the player knows he can prevent or she knows that they can prevent. But it's just, like, It's a surprise without the jump scare.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it makes you...
Because it's different
yeah,
from
and
what
it,
the game is set
it
up.
It relies on a... and like an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
To either save the player or the player to not be able to handle it correctly and die.
It's good. It's the only moment that I can really remember and like praise from that game.
Yeah, like I think Resident Evil was one of the first games to really set up tension, A, because of the cameras, and B, because it needed to rely on tension rather than graphics to create the aesthetic that it had.
Yeah.
And that if it didn't have a lot of that tension, it wouldn't be the game that it is today.
Well, okay, there's an analogy I heard where in Silent Hill's constant unease, you're like, oh god, what's around the corner, oh god, and you keep waiting and waiting and nothing ever happens.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still scary. Yeah. While Resident Evil is like, here's a big monster, you're like, holy shit, what is that? Do I have enough ammo to kill it? How much health does it have? I'm like, what do I do?
Yeah.
What's its patterns? Is it going to hit me? Is it going to walk away?
Yeah, well, like, eventually, like, the reason Silent Hill has a bit more of that lasting horror power than Resident Evil does is because Resident Evil is effectively, it does have, like, it has ammo, it has bosses, it has, like, various elements of it that can be, like, directly defeated, and you can learn enemy placements and how the mansion is laid out.
Yeah, you can learn, like, sprint routes to not take damage.
Yeah,
it's a very,
exactly.
like, you can defeat your own horrors, while Silent Hill is more intriguing and everlasting of a horror.
I guess I would use, like, the psychological
terror
of, like, being actually overtaken.
Their influences were Jacob's Ladder and Rosemary Baby and a couple other films.
But yeah, like, in Resident Evil, I think, was it the first game to have, like, the idea of limited ammunition and...
No, there was an NES game in Japan that did it first. I forget the name.
Okay.
It was, like, something mansion, but then Resident Evil... And it was, like, you had party members that had permadeath. It's really weird, but
well,
then Resident Evil took after that.
Was it the first one in America, you know?
Probably.
Okay.
Unless you really want to consider, like, Friday the 13th on the NES one of the best horror games.
I'm gonna consider it to be one of the first well-known games to come to America with that idea of bullet conservation and that how ammo is relatively precious.
Yeah.
And it's that, like, that is more...
There's probably a game on DOS.
Probably,
yeah. Or Doom has ammo conservation.
But I wouldn't consider
Doom, like, horror.
And it's not...
Even though you go to hell and back.
No, it's because it's an
action... And you fight cyber demons.
It's an action game.
Sure,
though.
But it's like you go into, like, this
I've heard people describe, like, Doom as being, like... meant to be scary. Like, and, like, I don't think, like, it's supposed to have any element of fear at all.
Which is why Doom 3 failed.
I was about
Doom
to say, I think Doom 3 tried to do that. But, like, with Resident Evil, it being the first game with, like, the idea of ammo conservation, the idea that, like, oh, crap, like, everything in my inventory is basically a one-time use.
Oh, yeah.
Even
your saves. You had a limited number of saves, because you had to use an ink ribbon to save your game, and you only got so many.
Yep. And, like, the idea that like, the reason and a lot of the times you can learn the mansion and learn how to avoid enemies is to save ammo.
Yeah.
And, like...
And to save health items.
Yeah, and I think until you learn that, the game is very...
The game punishes you for keep using health items and the more bullets you use.
Really?
Yeah, you get a worse ranking and you get less New Game Plus items.
Huh.
Oh. It rewards you for never using a first aid spray and sticking to herbs.
Hmm.
And then for also just never getting hit.
Interesting.
For never taking much damage. It also rewards your completion time. So the first run through is very horror-filled, very use everything you can, but then the second time is like, how can I do this as fast?
Yeah, how can I optimize it?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's interesting. It becomes like a speedrun.
It becomes a speedrun action game on the second playthrough.
Well, I mean, because, like, since horror has to do with, I guess, like, fear of the unknown.
Yeah, fear
and,
of not
and, like,
knowing
I guess on, like, a different level, like, disempowerment. Like, once you've, like, figured out the so-called, like, puzzle of, like, getting past, like, you know, the planned out, like, because, you know, like, there, you can, like, think ahead of time, like, I know this is gonna happen if you've played it again, like, you've essentially, like, beaten the challenge, and you know how to do it, at least, like, relatively successfully now.
So now you just gotta
do
it faster and faster,
like,
and better and better.
Yep.
And
super better.
I'm, like,
faster, stronger.
Yeah.
That's why, like, in a lot of horror movies and games, like, when the final enemy is revealed, and when, like, the big old boss monster is, like, here he is, like, ooh, be scared.
Yeah.
The next time you see him, he's not going to be as scary.
Well, no, because, like, I know like, how to beat him. Like,
yeah, or, I mean, not even beat him, like, you just know what he looks like.
Oh, yeah, like, it's there's no, like...
yeah, but in Resident Evil, surprise. Like, you go your second playthrough, and the stress is, did I do everything right leading up to this boss fight? Do I have the items I need and everything to beat him without fucking up the rest of this entire game I played through?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's at that point, it's not a scarcity. It's like, you're not scared.
It's not terror as much as it's stress.
Yeah. Which is fine, but like that's one of the problems with horror games, which is why I find it interesting that Resident Evil was built the way it was.
Yeah.
Because they knew how people were gonna react to it after the first playthrough.
Yeah, so I guess they really did plan for that, and that's kinda why Mercenaries exist now.
Yeah.
That's why I would go back to RE5 and RE6. And then Silent Hill is something else where it wasn't about the final monster, rather, but it was more about what it wasn't about speedrunning after a new game, is what I'm trying to say. Silent Hill was more about play it again to see the different ending you get. Silent Hill 2 has like 13 endings. It's ridiculous. And you're supposed to get all of them.
And there's also like just a myriad of like secrets and
yeah, stuff. There's a myriad of secrets and bonus weapons and references and all that good stuff. Mm.
So would you say that Silent Hill does keep its suspense a lot more? I mean
if you don't use the joke weapons and you really go if you don't use the joke weapons, it does keep a suspense, but it more keeps intrigue, because this story is also well laid out, and everything is symbolic.
Yeah, like, the ideas presented in that game are still, like, pretty, well, not pretty, but, like, they're still, like, able to, like, incite fear in you.
Or, yeah.
Because, like, in Resident Evil, I'd say it's more about, like, physical terrors, right?
Yeah.
While Silent Hill is, like... in the mind. Sort of
yeah, thing. It's psychological horror.
Yeah.
But it's just, I beat the game, and I was like, okay, the story's cool. Combat was, of course, intentionally crap, and I just kind of walked away from it. And then I came back, and I'm like, what does that enemy design really mean? And, like, each enemy design just has each, like, everything's inspired and symbolic, as I said, but just even the first enemy is based off these ideas and the story and relations between two characters.
And then, like, I don't know, even Resident Evil had some interesting ideas behind it.
Yeah.
I think I didn't really think about this until a couple days ago, but, like, the name of the first Resident Evil actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because,
get
like...
get on the train, Adam.
Yeah,
let's
I know.
Let's go.
If you don't know, you're in a house, like, you get locked in a house, essentially, as you're being chased by...
it's
demon.
A, it's a manor that was filled with creepy it's experiments a, and tampering and things that
place
they shouldn't have.
Residence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where there is
dun,
evil.
Dun, dun. Yeah. Like
it's just like every Resident Evil afterwards. It's more about like evil taking residence within the body.
No, it's not. It's about evil like expanding its residence. Because Resident Evil 2 was here's a whole city. Resident Evil 3. No, Resident Evil 2 was like. It was like part of a city,
yeah.
And like a police station. Resident Evil 3 was like, this is now a mass terror happening where you have to escape the city.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil 4 was, here's a country. And Resident Evil 5 was...
it's like expanding to the
kind
world.
Kind of the same thing. And then Resident Evil 6 was like, the world's fuck. So each game kind of expands the idea of resident and residence.
Oh, interesting. Oh, man, like Resident Evil on like the International Space Station. Like you're an astronaut and you have to like fucking
like kill zombies.
Anti-grav mechanics.
Dude, there's a game that's
anti-grav tank controls.
Oh my
dude,
god.
There is a horror game that takes place on a Zeppelin.
What?
And it deals with an orphan. It deals with orphans on a Zeppelin.
It's called playing BioShock now?
No, Rule of Rose. It's so weird.
Is it what console?
PS2. What's really interesting is it's, like, Resident Evil 4 was such a big game and they wanted to get it right, it spawned three other games from development. It spawned Devil May Cry, which,
yeah.
Because they wanted to make Resident Evil an action game, they said, no, let's make that a different game. So
yeah.
It spawned Devil May Cry. Like, what if we made it take place in a castle with a dog? That made Haunting Ground, where they changed that into a different game where he plays a girl.
Yeah.
And then it also made Rule of Rose, which is kind of the same game as Haunting Ground, but a different story and characters.
Kind of interesting because they took the same character.
And then
there were two
prototypes for the game that were shown off, which is the Hookman prototype, which still had tank controls, and Leon was supposed to have supernatural powers. And then there is a different prototype, I forget the name of. But there is a lot that came from Resident Evil 4. Like, it spawned Devil May Cry, which is weird. And then Resident Evil 2 had a separate game before it was completely wiped, known as Resident Evil 1.5.
Mm-hmm. So, going back to Silent Hill, would you say that understanding a lot of the characters' designs, in effect, makes the game less scary?
No,
No.
it gives reason to a lot of things, and it explains a lot. Because Resident Evil, the story, everything's very unease to the point of dialogue. Like the first dialogue you hear from in Silent Hill 2 from James Sunderland and I forget her name, the first girl you meet in the cemetery, they're talking like mentally challenged people. Like the conversation does not flow like a normal conversation. They seem very just different and kind of like stilted. And so it's very like it's kind of creepy, and it's just even like their level of dialogue is set to unease people.
Interesting. That's definitely like, I don't know. I think, like, that's sort of a lasting horror.
Yeah,
Like,
or like what they went to the extent of getting a nobody for the voice actor James Sunderland. James Sunderland is modeled off the voice actor, and the voice actor is just his voice acting sounds like shit, and it's meant to because James Sunderland is just a shit normal guy.
Yeah, some dude.
Interesting. Like,
Resident Evil is more of campy horror in comparison, because Resident Evil is like, you are almost a Jill sandwich. Oh man, oh my god. Like, Chris, he was our old partner, you know? Maybe it's Chris's blood.
take this. It's super powered,
Yeah,
like,
especially
against
against living things.
the
Oh my God.
It's super like campy horror, like Evil Dead 2 and shit like that. Well,
Yeah.
Silent Hill is more, again, like Jacob's Ladder.
Well, like, and that's again treading back into the horror movie genre. There was a very long, long period in the horror movie business when they were considered B movies.
Well, yeah, because
Every,
like it was
like
like
it
cheap
was,
thrills that you
yeah,
could pull off
exactly.
easily and
And
still
so,
worked.
like, in a lot of ways, that's kind of, in a way, what they were trying to do with Resident Evil.
Yeah.
They were trying to make
Yeah.
a cheap budget game that would be decent
Actually scary.
and, yeah,
Yeah.
and mildly
Like.
enjoyable. Like, it doesn't, like, I don't think there will ever quite be, like, I don't want to say that there will never be, but I want to say that there's a very rare chance that a horror game will have extremely long-lasting horror to it.
Well, like, yeah, I'm like, after I put down the controller, I'm not gonna, like, go back, you know, to my room or something
Yeah.
and be like, oh man, I should, like, open a window
I
to
was
this.
scared about that on Silent Hill, where I was like, oh, and then whenever, like, like, I don't know, I was, like, internally feared of industrial sounds. It's just not good.
Ooh.
Like, that was just like in a fear of industrial sounds, but the game itself didn't really have like this fearful. Like,
Like, I
I'm
didn't,
saying, like,
like,
if you go on.
imagine, like, I guess,
Yeah,
like,
of
the
course.
fucking, I don't know, zombie dogs or something, or like Pyramid Head coming out of
I think a
like.
lot of people had that when the games first came out.
Yeah.
And I could probably, there's probably one game where I had that, because I know I've had that with movies, like The Grudge and shit. But then, I'm sure Silent Hill 3 had that effect on me for like a day or two.
Like,
I guess, like, okay, no, that's not related to the games as much. Like, okay. Like the one time I guess that did happen to me, but it wasn't a game, so I don't know why I'm bringing this up.
well,
Was
what
like
was it?
was
The lime
it was
cherry.
the statues from Doctor Who, and this is like when I like first like this is
Oh,
my
okay.
first episode of Doctor Who, so I didn't know what I was getting into, and like, and I don't know, like things that like suddenly like moved scared me, and it wasn't even like a thing like, oh no, a fucking thing's gonna come out of my closet because I'm like 10 years old or whatever, however old when I fucking watch that. It was like, it was actually like things moving kind of creep me out, and I don't know, that I don't know, it's still like I can
Yeah, I
feel that
remember
being present,
one of the first like horrifying
like suddenly
experiences.
moving.
Yeah. One of the first horrifying experiences I ever had was I wasn't even watching like a movie or playing a game. I was like 5, maybe 4,
Yeah.
and I was building a Lego TIE Fighter.
Uh-huh.
And I had the book sitting like to my right, and I had the TIE Fighter in front of me. And as I was putting pieces together, I saw something move over by the book,
Yeah.
and I'd look, and like nothing would be there. I'd be like, "All right," and then I'd go back to it, and then it would happen again. I'd look, and I'd be freaked out, and it looked like a cat's tail almost,
Oh,
like
that's
waving across the
weird.
page or something. And so like it really freaked me out until now I think about it now, I'm pretty sure we had a fan in that room. So it was the reflection on like the page.
What the fuck is that?
Hold on. It was the reflection on the page of the fan.
That's so stupid.
Like, now that, like, when you think about it now, it's like, wow, like, I must have been a real dingus.
You've been to my apartment. You know how, like, there are blind corners, like, blind turns from the hallway and, like, into the kitchen from the living room? Mm-hmm. I watched the Babadook at, like, 2 a.m. to keep to stay awake.
Oh, my God.
And so, like, when I see, like, all the lights are off and the hallway, it's like, it goes forward and it turns right into the living room. That hallway, to get from my room to the living room, the light switch is at the end of the hallway, so I have to walk through all the darkness and black shit. Which isn't that long of a hallway, but it's still creepy, because it's like, I can just imagine just seeing just the tip of, like, the sharp fingers. Coat or no, something. Yeah, like a coat or, like, sharp fingernails coming out from the corner. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, it's...
No.
It's
so bad.
Oh, another fucking moment. Mm-hmm. Penumbra, there's like this, it's not, okay, it's not technically a jump scare, but it still like throws information at your, like, at your face really quickly. It's like, you turn on, like, you're in this like normal room, and like pretty like normal things have happened so far, and then like you turn on this, the lights to this room, but it's black lights, and like all the walls have been painted in like iridescent like and it's just like crazy fucking writing. Mm-hmm. And so like after, sorry, like a day or two, I'm like, like, turning on lights was stressful.
No.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Like, and all these, like, that... Penumbra's a video game, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. No, it's a visual novel.
Hey.
It's a dating sim.
The dating sim. You have the option to turn on the lights.
You have to date your, like, dead bearded man.
In fact, that moment was more scary than, like, enemies in that game. Because, like...
You need to play Black... Or the sequel.
Okay. But, like, I used to, like, kill the dogs with the pickaxes, because I figured it out, and I was like, haha, take that. But, like, that fucking light moment, man, like, that.
Yeah, like, a lot of the times, like, the horror is something very, like, simple.
Yeah.
Like, that light, like, it's like, oh my god, there are these vicious, you know, hellhounds, I'll just kill them with a pickaxe.
What's the,
like,
subtitle of the first Penumbra game? Because I'm trying to remember the second one. Is it Overture or Black Plague?
Overture, yeah.
Okay, in Penumbra Black Plague, I think it was, like, the sequel to Penumbra, you start out in this prison... And, like, you occasionally get these weird, like, mini, like, things moving, scares, and it's not that creepy, but then you leave your cell and you start going wandering, and you're like, okay, I need a syringe. And so you start going wandering through the halls, and as soon as you grab the key item, the syringe, you can hear a weird, like, distorted voice, and that just creates so much tension, and then in the distance you can just see this figure moving. That's, oh, it's creepy.
Yeah, and, like, there are various elements that you can add just to make it, like, a much... like, scarier experience, and like we've been saying, and like with a lot of these examples in Silent Hill and Resident Evil, like, the simple stuff is what makes it scary. The simple tweaks and the simple
change of color in Silent Hill is scary, because what, like, the other world as it's known, it just changes from blue and gray to orange, and that, like, simple shade, and like the industrial music kicks in when it changes to orange, and it's very frightening. You just get this sudden, even a color change is just uneasy.
You know, it's interesting that that's uneasy, because blue and orange are...
opposite colors.
They're complementary.
Oh, they're... What?
Yeah.
Blue and orange. I'm thinking of warm and cold.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but when you have blue and orange on the same scale, like, when you have them together...
It just pops.
Man. Yeah, it pops. And, like, it makes a difference, and, like, you can feel, like... Or even see.
Well, that, and the orange is supposed to represent, like, flames and fire, which is, like, synonymous with hell.
Yeah.
And so that's what the orange is supposed to represent. And there's also the theme of metal and chain link in some games. In Silent Hill 3 and 1, most predominantly, it's, like, the theme is orange and, like, chain link, and then industrial sounds. Well, in Silent Hill 2 and 4, it's different. So.
Interesting. Weird. What was that other horror game that was, like...
P.T.?
No, not P.T. It was one that you guys were playing for a little bit where, like, it's an escaped experiment. It's like a weird, like, orange...
Oh,
like,
SCP!
SCP
is something... Oh, generic number.
K, I guess.
It was kind of like a fad for a bit.
It's the thrill of running away from something that you can't, that you have to keep looking at.
Would you say that's a very jump scare heavy game?
Yes, but I think
the whole point was to, like, create an enemy that you don't know when it's going to appear.
Okay, developer's old SCP game was a game of walking down stairs, like winding stairs that go back and forth, back and forth, and you had to keep walking down and down into this darkness, and you couldn't see what's ahead, like beyond a foot, maybe 2 feet of you.
Uh-huh.
So you had to keep going and going and going. I think you had to go down like 78 staircases until you got to the jump scare. that whole time building tension. Mm-hmm. 78 staircases of just boom, boom, boom,
oh,
boom. Constantly
like hell.
Going. It's so good.
There was for in okay. In like okay, Stalker like the Stalker series.
Stalker
like,
is a survival action.
Well,
game.
Okay, but like there are like specific like horror like
yeah.
moments. Like that game likes to put you in like claustrophobic areas for like I guess like dungeon esque sort of areas.
Oh, I know what you're talking
like,
about.
Okay,
like, okay.
And they like there seems to be
there
this
are
like
two things in that game that are the scariest fucking shit, and they're both for different reasons.
Yeah,
you go. Oh,
okay.
Oh, see what
like,
you do and do after.
Like the game likes to like. When put into these, like I guess, like, scary dungeon parts, like, there's always an element of something you always have to just, like, put up with. And, like,
yeah.
The first one is, like, there are these ghost things
oh,
that,
yeah,
like,
the
that, like, they constantly, like, throw, like, boxes, and they
I
do...
They throw, like, buckets at them.
Yeah, they throw,
like,
buckets and shit at you, and they do, like, minimal health, but, like, the fact that, like, there is always this constant barrage of buckets,
yeah, or,
like,
you walk to a room,
it really just
this,
stresses
like,
you out.
Like, floating items, and you're like, oh...
Yeah. And then, and, like, in, what was it?
Call of Pripyat.
There's this last level that, like, it's literally, like, every time you go into a room, like, this is just my experience anyway, like, I kind of played it on a harder mode, but, like, there's always something you have to be aware of. And there was, like, every time I went to a room, I had to sit in a corner for, like, 3 minutes just to, like, be sure there wasn't something, because, like, there's always, like, something lurking in the distance, and there was always something that made a noise, and that changed.
Okay. There was something for me in Call of Pripyat, where I went into this area, no, what was it called? But it was one of the Stalker games, where I went into a sewer, and it was just a very, like, rummaged, like, trashy, like, small sewer, it was just one channel, and it was about, I think, like, 5 feet tall,
mm-hmm.
or, like, 6 feet tall, where you could barely stand in it. And then at the end of the tunnel, there's this weird, like, lurching brown thing, like, this creature. I was like, okay, and I walk up to him, and he turns around, and he starts casting psychic waves, but you don't know what's happening, because your camera's just spinning and rotating and, like, shaking really rapidly and violently, and your health is draining, and your radiation's going up, and there's so much happening. And it's just such a panic moment, because it's this weird, creepy creature, and he's just standing there. He doesn't attack you at close range unless you really get to him, but he starts sending these waves, and you start hearing a high-pitched noise, your camera starts shaking, and it creates such panic. It's really freaky.
Yeah.
It's really hard to shoot him, too.
Oh, wait, was he, like, a dwarf-like figure, or was he, like a, like, tallish man? Like, not, like, tallish man, but, like, what did he have a cloak, or was he just, like, wearing jeans or something?
I think he was just wearing jeans,
okay.
But he was, like, hunched over, and
like,
he had, like, claws.
I had, like, okay, the first time I encountered that, like, that was fucking scary.
It's
but,
really
like,
panic.
I figured it out, and, like, now, like, that moment is actually kind of fun to play. But all you have to do is, like, take out your knife and rush him, and then
yeah.
just keep, like, stabbing him. And it's, like, it's, like, the fun, like, you just, it's, like, derailing, like, a D&D campaign so hard. Like, oh, no, like, the monster, they're just, I stab it, like, just, like,
yeah.
stab it with my knife.
It was just, there's so much panic in that one moment. It's great.
So what is Pripyat involve in terms of, like, resources?
It involves a lot,
well,
but I
you
think...
have to, like, you still have to manage your resources.
I'm more
like...
thinking of the mod that came out, where it's, like, you have to manage sleeping pills.
I played the mod while I was, like, partially sick. And so, like, it was basically, like... And
that
like,
game does not
fever
make you,
dream.
That mod does not make you feel good. There are
no.
so many, like, diluted colors, it just makes you feel
yeah,
sick
like,
playing
I, like,
it. It's so
I don't know why I started playing it at
so
that long. Time.
So it was, like, fever dream?
Well, yeah, it was basically, like, playing a fever dream at that point, and, like, and then, like, there was so much fucking grinding for some reason, like...
Really?
For me, anyway, like, I couldn't get anywhere without, like...
You just had to do side quests, and, like, get items.
Side quests would kill me.
So, but what, like,
anyway, that's the like,
point!
Vanilla.
Okay. Well, in vanilla, you have to manage bullets, you have to manage your guns, and your guns have health. You have to manage your health,
armor,
your
house,
radiation,
health,
your sickness, your food.
There's basically a lot of things that kill you, that can kill you, and you have to manage all of that. But it's, like, not as bad as you think.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, that is, in a way, like,
it's
employing...
mainly, like, the general survival mechanics of an apocalypse. Because what Call of Pripyat is about, what if the bombs went off?
Yeah, of course.
What if Russia is now under nuclear winter? And you have to basically survive it. And there's also mutants.
So it's kind of like a more realistic Fallout in a lot of ways.
Yes. Yeah. Well, in some respects.
More down to
In terms of, like I guess, like, story and, like, characters you encounter, though, it's like, it's not really, like, survival. Because, like, that game has some, like, derpy character moments, and, like...
kind of.
And, like, people, like, they don't treat it like it's not like an apocalyptic zone. It's more like we're a bunch of guys with guns, and, like, yeah, this forbidden zone in Russia. Like, it's...
But it's less derpy than Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout, like, takes...
Fallout's in the fucking stratosphere of silliness. Yeah. Like, you might as well call it, like, We Love Fallout in reference to Katamari Damacy or something.
But, like, I would say that something that differentiates, like, a horror game from, like, a survival game is that the horror game will actually give you less ammo.
That's why it was originally called survival horror, but now they're split because DayZ exists now.
Well, I don't know.
Wait, why would that split it?
Because now, like, survival games are now survival games and don't rely on horror, but rather just management.
Yeah.
DayZ is not scary.
Yeah, and in some respects, like, some just, like, straight-up horror games aren't scary, like, really, because, like, there's only, like, one thing I can do, which is run, and, like, after you've, like, ran for long enough, you're kind of, like, there isn't, like...
Oh, look up a playthrough, or, actually, there's no way you can get your hands on a PS4, but look up a playthrough of PT. The only controls are movement, like, your two analog sticks for move and look, and zoom. That's all you get, and it keeps changing
PT,
every time.
PT takes direct... It takes... a very direct psychological route, and a very direct, like, it's very directly influenced by movies.
Yeah.
There is...
Well, it's Kojima.
Yeah, of course. Like,
he wanted to be a director, and he's like, well, I guess I'll make video games.
Yeah, but, like, it's directly influenced by movies, and for those who don't know, PT is essentially...
It's playable teaser, is what it stands for.
And it's effectively
an
L-shaped hallway with, what, two rooms?
It's an L-shaped hallway that has a bathroom that you can enter.
Oh, wait, wasn't it, like, the fact that, like, the game... I read this somewhere. The fact that the game has, like, so many right angles, it plays on some, like, psychological
theory. Does it?
Yeah, like, I heard something about, like, right angles.
There are, okay, it's basically a perfectly 90-degree hallway where you go boom, boom.
Yeah.
And so, and the whole idea is that, spoilers for PT, you go, and then once you, like, you go through the hallway, hit the door... And then you start back at the beginning of the hallway, and so you keep repeating the hallway, and every time is different.
Yep.
There's always... You start out, and the hallway is really clean, then you go back, and it's really dirty. And then you go back again, and now the bathroom door is cracked open, and there's cockroaches coming out. You go back again, and the exit door is locked, and you have to zoom. You have to figure out the zoom button at the door, and when you zoom at the cracked bathroom door, a hand reaches out and closes it. And then you have to keep going, and it keeps going and going and adding more eventually, where it's like... Near the end, the rooms start getting red, and you start moving at super speed.
Yep.
And it's like, plays this idea of panic again.
Well, it plays through the idea of, like, the infinite loop.
Yeah.
The idea that you're just caught in a trap. And again, with the Weeping Angels.
Oh, and it's random, like, every time you go through. People have different experiences. And, hell, there's a point where there are different clues in different languages, because Kojima wanted everybody in the world to work together to figure out how to beat the game.
Nice.
And to beat the game, you need to have the PlayStation 4 microphone, and you need to say the murderer's name, John, into the microphone at the final bit. And then that will unlock the final ending.
Yeah.
Or the secret ending.
It's definitely, it's an interesting take on the horror genre, and it's definitely an evolution of the horror genre.
It's one of the best horror games. A lot of people say that, and it's true.
Yeah. And it's like... It's one of the, I'd say where PT is, I would say some of the, like, the direct opposite of, like, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
Okay, but, where some of it is still, like...
There's the occasional payoff in PT, but it's not the whole point of the game. The whole point of the game is just, what the fuck am I looking at? Like, there's a fetus, like, in the sink, what is this? And it starts, like, whining.
Yep.
It's a fetus!
Is it, like, I guess, like, just more or less, like, a... experience, or just, like, the game is, like, is it good enough to actually, like, get players to just, like, stop on their tracks and say, do I want to continue just on
a lot of people have given up on it. It's, a lot of people go, like, five hallways in, or, like, they get to a point, and then they're like, I'm done.
That's good.
Because there are times where, like, you go back to the main hallway, and the main hallway is leading from, like, the bedrooms into, like, the front door, and then the bathroom, which is weird, but and there are some times where, like, you go through, and then you look, and you're like, this is the same. Nothing's really changed. You're creepy. And then you look at the window and you can see the ghost in the window. And you're like,
And yeah, you suddenly start getting goosebumps, and you're like, I'm done. Yep. Like, I turn it off.
There's one instance when you go through the hallway, nothing, and then you go through the hallway again, and the ghost is standing in the hallway, or there's like a figure in the hallway.
It's really funny when it glitches out though, and it starts like.
Yeah, and like what it's supposed to do is once you move close enough, it just disappears.
Yeah.
But like it'll sometimes glitch out.
Like, no, it like stands there and twitches, and then it's supposed to disappear as you go towards it. But then there's a glitch that happens to some people where like it starts switching, like dry humping the air, like floating away. It's a stupid shit.
Yeah, but like it's this idea that again, like with like the Weeping Angels idea, like if you look at a statue and then look away and then look back at said statue,
it'll change. It'll
the human mind is like, well, it should still be there. It should still be a statue. But like with PT, you go through the room. Oh, it's all fine. Go through it again. Wait, it's dirty. Why is it dirty?
Yeah.
And then you go through it again. It's just like there's a ghost.
Or like even then, there's a room that only happens twice in the game. At the very beginning, when you start and wake up, and then at a halfway point where it's like very beginning is just like there's a cockroach. It's an empty like garage.
Uh-huh.
And then you walk forward to the main hallway part, and eventually you get attacked and dropped back in there. And then you turn around, and there's like a bloody paper bag on the table. And you're like, okay. And then the paper bag starts shaking, and then it starts talking to you. And it starts asking, do you know who you are? Like, I've been through this place. I can't find out who I am. Do you know who you are? And it's just a bloody shaking bag. And it's the weirdest and scariest moment.
I mean, like, if we go back to the idea of horror just being, like, the fear of the unknown... Like, that's what PT is. It's literally
when they announced PT, it was after the MGS5 trailer. Kojima was still on stage. People didn't know it was by Kojima, because he was just standing there on stage, and behind him was a nice picture of a Japanese garden with an ink or paintbrush, and white said PT.
Oh.
That was it. And it was a free download for PS4.
Huh.
And he reduced the graphics on the Fox, because he uses Fox Engine, he reduced the graphics and resolution so that people wouldn't think it's Fox Engine.
Wow.
And that it's an indie company.
Kojima's.
So Kojima.
MGS2 is going to star Snake, you guys, I promise.
Gosh, what? Isn't PT is a demo for Silent Hills,
which is a play on the region, and it's like, it's a play on the weird region code, and like the, it's a play on the serial code or something like that for Silent Hill, or like the inventory code, and so that the S is also drawn like a 5. So it's supposed to be Silent Hills and Silent Hill 5.
Okay. Well, I also heard that, like, Silent Hills could also be in, like, reference to the fact that, like, PT, everybody kind of gets their own unique experience. Like, Silent Hills, everybody gets their own hill, if we want to put it that way.
Well, yeah, that was established since the second game. Yeah, everybody has a different experience. Like, Silent Hill, there are three forms of Silent Hill. The place that is completely normal is a normal town. The place that has the roads completely gone and it's just, like, really foggy. And then there's the other world.
Okay.
And everybody who goes in there with a troubled past or has some reason to go back there will have a weird, their own experience.
Mm-hmm.
That's why James Sunderland is supposed to be the only James Sunderland is supposed to be the only person who experiences, like, the sight of Pyramid Head. It is his incarnation, his memories and thoughts. While Silent Hill 1 has different monsters, and Silent Hill 3 kind of breaks the chain, whatever, it's still good. But everybody, in like Silent Hill Zero, the trucker who goes in there, he has his own experience and his own weird demons.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what would you guys want to see a change in, like, the horror genre?
Unless you're like, I don't know, some like game dev god like Kojima, like stop making like games where I just like, or horror games anywhere where I just like. Like, kind of, like, walk and look at things. Like, I understand like the appeal of that. Simulators. And, like, okay, like, that is, like, a good thing. But, like, you gotta, like, give me, like, some way to, like, at least, like, hope I have a chance to fight. Like, even if, like, mathematically, like, I can't do the damage compared to what the other enemy, like, I just, like, if you gave me a gun, like, it gives me false hope. And even, like, in a horror situation, like, false hope is, like,
it's better than just, sick. Like, not being
like, able oh, yeah, to what am I going to do? Run? Yeah, I'm going to run. Like, I get it. Like,
Okay. I wanted to bring up before we finish, Silent Hill Shattered Memories was a game that changed as you play it, and it did not lie, because there was an early section that demonstrated this best, and it's, there's two parts. There's, you basically play as Harry Mason, trying to recall the events of Silent Hill while he's talking to a psychologist.
Hmm.
And there's an early part where he says, okay, use the Wii remote, and all these pencils, colored pencils, the color in the house that you saw that was supposed to be your own house. And you can color it in and draw it blue. And then when you go back in the game, the house is painted blue. If you go back and paint it yellow, the house is painted yellow. If you look at all the sexy magazines in Silent Hill, all the enemies will get, like, sexier and slimier and much more voluptuous. And it's really creepy how it does that. But it's really cool. I think the one thing I want to change is stop putting so many fucking locked doors. Like, the door is locked, okay, door is locked. Oh, the door is jammed. Oh, okay, well, at least that's different. The lock's busted.
Would you just rather not see the door there, then?
Yeah, kind of.
Well, okay. I don't know, like, I like, even though it's, like, frustrating, and I get, like, every time it's, the door is locked, like, it's just a fucking letdown. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's sort of like that whole, like, oh, just give me a stupid gun anyway, just so I, like, kind of feel, like, every time you see a door, like, there's a bit of you that, like, gets nervous, and you're like, there might be something behind that, and if there is, like, then there's, like, payoff, but there is, like, I guess it, like, it's sort of, like, riding that line of, like, being too annoying to, but,
yeah. Also, yeah, don't put fucking combat mechanics in your fucking horror game.
Well, what do you mean combat mechanics?
Like, did you ever play Silent Hill Homecoming?
No.
No, you have it, I remember. Yeah, you have it, and I said, why do you fucking have this game? Because Silent Hill Homecoming Silent Hill Homecoming added Zelda combat. And nothing was scary, because you had a block, a dodge, a strong attack.
Oh, shit. Okay, that was my phone.
You have a strong attack, a light attack, and a dodge, and you have Z-targeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not scary. It says Zelda combat. It's like,
weird.
Where's my... And you have a knife, and like, it's so weird.
Well, I mean, I got that game from a friend, and I wasn't planning on playing it anyway.
Yeah.
So I just was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. I guess the one thing that is going to be an interesting change to the horror genre and how it develops is going to be VR.
Oh, yeah.
VR technology, virtual reality technology.
I saw some horror tech demos for the Oculus Rift. They're pretty good.
Well, one of the interesting horror tech demos was that the character, in effect, was stationary. Yeah. You were sitting on a couch looking at a TV. And stuff just started, like, happening.
Oh, that's cool.
And, like, the TV all of a sudden started flickering and lights started flickering.
And for, like, me, in that case, you need a panic button on the keyboard because you can't easily take it off with the VR headset. And so if you're stuck with that, it's like, that's not healthy. You need a panic button that you can hit.
You can always,
like,
close
in a
your
game,
eyes.
You can always look away. I mean, yeah, but, like, you can always look away or you, like, can hit start it, or something, but it's like, you need something on it. Because there are some games I've seen where it's like, there's no start button, son.
Yeah.
You gotta finish this game, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, there's no, like, ability to pause it during, like, a cutscene or something.
Well, not even during cutscenes. It's like, there is a horror game on VR, it's like you have to go until you start in this weird forest, kind of like Slender, and then you go into a metro,
mm-hmm.
and you start going into this underground area, real down, and you start exploring these corridors, and then a little girl shows up, and it's this very, like, frightening, like, moment, mm-hmm. and she kind of chases you, and there's no back, escape, start, nothing, you just have to finish the game, and you, like, it's on a VR headset, so good luck taking that off in a pinch.
Sounds
when
really
it's
creepy.
Strapped to your head.
Yeah.
Well, maybe there'd be, like an emergency button, like, on the side of the thing.
Where it just slams off. Yeah. You're like, well, now
like, it's actually not, like, electronic. It's just, like, there's a slider that, like, comes into place in front of your eyes, and it's...
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm excited to see what that brings, and, like, all what that will entail. Like, how
it will
change
there's a whole
it.
New sense of interaction it can put on
exactly.
your senses.
Yeah. Like, you can't really, like... A, it has to be in first person. Like, you couldn't make a Silent Hill game based on Oculus Rift. Like,
you could have made it first person.
Well, yeah, which, but I don't know if that'd be, like, Silent... Or not Silent Hill, sorry, Resident Evil.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it'd be very difficult.
Oh, there is a Resident Evil light gun game, so I think you can.
Really?
Yeah, it was called Dead Aim, and then they made Umbrella Chronicles, and then they made Darkseid Chronicles.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a light gun Silent Hill game.
Yeah?
Yep, it's really dumb, but it's
I remember
there.
Some of the coolest...
There's a light gun Castlevania game.
What?
Yep, I remember there
it's
was.
An arcade game.
Do you throw, like, axes and stuff?
You, like,
shoot?
You throw. You throw, like, yeah, you throw axes and shit. And, like,
oh,
you have a
fuck.
Whip. Like, you have.
That's rad.
You have two controllers. One of them is a whip, like a PS Move, and you're supposed to move it like this.
What?
Yeah, cool. It's really cool.
But yeah, so it's just going to be interesting to see what VR has to horror, and it'll effectively be even more traumatizing. Like, most
now
people
it's
will,
like in your.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because now it's like, you are there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the closest you've ever been.
Yep. But it'll be fun. I think that video games in general, especially...
Is that a fucking cake or a pizza?
No,
it's
a pizza.
It's hard to tell. Pizza, pizza.
It's a piece of
pizza. Pizza, pizza.
Here you go.
So I think that'll wrap it up for this week. Decided to talk about horror just because, you know, on my mind. And PT released a while ago, and hopefully...
It's perfect, because I watched Babadook. I know I didn't tell you guys about it, but... Yeah, holy whatever. Shit.
But yeah.
It's a game changer. Yeah. Hashtag game changer, everybody.
So yeah, like, leave... What?
Well, I was going to say, the director of Exorcist said it was one of his favorite movies. And that to me is like, wow. Yeah. Okay,
I know it got nominated for some of the...
I wish it would play in America so I didn't have to pirate it, but okay.
But yeah. So, leave a like, subscribe, leave a comment on your way out, and we'll see you guys next time.
End on a spooky note.
Spooky, please, no!
Oh no!
Spooky, scary.
But no, Jeremy, what's up behind you? Oh no! We're gonna do a game through play tomorrow.
Maybe.
No,
we'll see
tomorrow.
Rip off. Like,
probably do homework.
Game grumps or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, people haven't done that before.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody's getting into games media.
Sell my soul to the devil.
You know, you gotta play the video games and talk over them.
See you guys later.
Try to make money.